Apple Computer's online music store has had unexpected success in persuading music fans to pay for digital songs. That's a rare bright spot for the recording industry. After 4 years of war against illegal online file sharing, more fans than ever are swapping songs illegally. NPR's Laura Seidel reports.
About a year ago, a possibly apocryphal story appeared in several newspapers and wire services. The story goes that an anti-piracy firm working on behalf of the film division of Warner Brothers found what appeared to be a copyright infringer. The firm spotted a file called Harry Potter. It sent a notice to the company that provided the alleged infringer's internet connection, asking it to cut off the account. But according to the story, the file swapper turned out to be a grade school student, and the file turned out to be Harry Potter book report. Still, Carrie Sherman, president of the Recording Industry Association of America, or RIAA, says record and film companies are within their rights to go after people they suspect of downloading files without authorization.
Other industries have found it necessary to enforce their rights. The cable industry went after people who stole cable service. You know, Saks Fifth Avenue goes after people who shoplift their merchandise because they understand that if they don't enforce their rights, the problem is only going to get worse.
In fact, the recording industry seems to be taking more actions against individuals. In April, the RIAA filed suit against four university students that the association accused of running what it called Napster-like services on their campuses. The students all settled and paid up to $17,500 in fines. The RIAA also served a subpoena on the Internet Service Division of Verizon, asking for the names of two customers the RIAA claims downloaded hundreds of music files without authorization. A federal district court ordered Verizon to turn over the names, but the company is appealing that ruling. Sandy Perlman is a former producer for The Clash, Blue Oyster Cult, and a founder of eMusic, an early pay-for-play downloading service. He thinks the record company's enforcement strategy is misguided.
Even if they win, they'll find that it will have taken so long to win this victory, as it did against Napster, for example, that things will have moved on to a much more disastrous level, you know, before, you know, they officially celebrate the useless victory.
After a series of legal actions brought by the record industry, Napster went out of business about 2 years ago. At its peak, Napster claimed 70 million downloads of its software. Today, Download.com, which provides access to several peer-to-peer file-sharing services, reports that one of them, Kazaa, has been downloaded more than 230 million times. Another, Morpheus, has been downloaded more than 111 million times. Last month, a federal court ruled that the technologies these services offer are not themselves illegal. It was a setback for the recording industry. There are reports that the record labels are working with software companies to develop programs that could disable the computers of people suspected of downloading files without permission. Sandy Perlman says these programs could include viruses or hunter bots.
Hunter bots that would go down to the hard drive level if an illegal download was detected and would disenable, you know, the computer from receiving further illegal downloads.
However, some of these tactics could be illegal, and Perlman thinks at best they will further alienate customers from the record industry. Coal Valley Cafe in San Francisco has a wireless web connection. On any given day, there are at least a half a dozen people drinking lattes, working on laptops, and downloading music.
Yeah, actually, I'm downloading some right now.
If you ask 37-year-old Abdul Nabi if he's worried about getting caught, he shrugs his shoulders and laughs.
You know, you sort of assume there's safety in numbers, that there's so many millions of people doing it that, yeah, the chance that they're going to knock on my particular door. The other day, I actually saw my mother sent me, like, some Indian music that she got. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, when your mother's doing it, then you're like, you really got to wonder.
Recently, the Recording Industry Association of America launched what it calls an education campaign that sends instant messages to people it suspects of downloading music. Those messages explain that what the computer users are doing could be illegal. But Nabi says he'll keep downloading.
Some of the stuff I'm downloading now, like the two CD set, is like $50. It's insane, and I'm not going to pay $50 for two CDs. I mean, if it were like $10, then I'd go buy it.
Many file sharers interviewed for this story said that if CDs were cheaper, they'd buy more. And the industry has long been criticized for charging too much. Danny Goldberg is a former CEO of Warner Brothers Records who now heads independent label Artemis. He doesn't think cutting prices will save the record industry.
I think land is too expensive, and peanut butter and recordings cost less than a book. They cost less than a movie. But I frankly think if someone is determined to get something for free, they're not going to be particularly deterred because they could get a CD for $10 instead of $15.
Goldberg thinks record companies have to figure out how to seduce their customers, not prosecute them.
Instead of having long, torturous meetings trying to figure out what to do, I would be more inclined to experiment and let the public tell us what worked. You know, I would just feel not the necessity to be consistent. I think it's a time where people should try one thing in January, another thing in February, one thing with one artist, another with another, and find out what works.
Goldberg says his company is experimenting with including a DVD of videos and other visuals in the same package as a music CD. He says that Apple's ability to get all five major record labels to participate in its iTunes service is a positive step. But no one really seems to know where the recording industry is going. RIAA President Kerry Sherman admits that the way consumers get music is not likely to be the same 10 years from now.
We don't know yet whether people are always going to want to own their music so that they just download what they want, or whether they're going to have their music needs satisfied by subscribing to services that let them listen to whatever music they want whenever they want to hear it. There are infinite possibilities, and the technology is very exciting.
It's also still very problematic. Apple just removed a feature from the latest version of its iTunes service after some Mac owners used it to swap files over the internet without permission. For NPR News, I'm Laura Seidel.